Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Good morning. Hey, not quite the sunshiny day that we had last week, but again, this view behind me is just spectacular. You know, this is the last week in our message series on Psalm 23, and this view behind me always reminds me of those green pastures and those still waters that God says that He is leading us towards. But also, this, I think, helps us lean into next week. Next week, we'll be beginning a series that is called The Great Treasure Hunt. And anytime I look out over the waters and I see the shorelines, I just think of, you know, ships and treasures and buried treasure. Matthew 13:44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a buried treasure that someone finds, and when they find it, they go and they sell all that they have in order to obtain the field that is buried in so that they can have that treasure. We're going to find out what that means and talk about what it means to grab hold of and to seek after and to look for the kingdom of heaven. This week, though, we're going to finish up. This is the seventh week that we're in Psalm 23, and we found that God has a lot for us there that has everything to do with these days that we're in and the fears that we face and how to face them with our shepherd, knowing that He is there with us. So let's dive back into Psalm 23, the last verse, Psalm 23, verse 6. Find out what God has for us here. You know, if I were to ask you if you have a good sense of rhythm, what would your answer be? I think some of you would probably immediately say, oh yeah, I'm a pretty good dancer, right? Now, some of you would maybe hesitate a while and not even want to answer the question. Some of you might tell me, yeah, I can't even keep a beat. I'm not that musical. Because those are the things, those are the terms in which we think of rhythm, that word rhythm. But I want us to think about that question just a little bit differently this morning. Tell me this, does your daily routine follow a 24-hour cycle of waking and sleeping and waking and sleeping? Usually it's coinciding with light and dark, day and night. Does your heart regularly beat pretty consistently inside your chest? If I were to give you the average daily temperatures and the color of the vegetation in a given location, could you tell me about what time of year that is? Because those are all rhythms. In fact, this whole world is framed with rhythms, whether we call them cycles or seasons, days or generations. And we are a part of this rhythm-driven world. So, believe it or not, we all have this very innate, very basic sense of rhythm. It's woven into our lives, woven into our world. That's why this pandemic is so challenging for us. It has completely messed up our rhythms. We have these patterns of going to work or going to school or getting a cup of coffee from our favorite coffee shop or getting our favorite meal at our favorite restaurant with some of our favorite friends. We had birthdays and graduations that were meant to be celebrated on certain days with certain people. And all of those rhythms have stopped or been changed, and now we're forced to make different rhythms, and that's just a pain. And so we protest. We go out there and protest. People are protesting. They want their jobs back. They want their schools back. And it's not just about economy or education. I mean, we have students that are saying, we just want our graduation. We're tired of this rhythm of putting a mask on and not seeing friends or family. Rhode Islanders want their beaches back. New Yorkers want our beaches back. Everybody around New England wants Rhode Island's beaches back. So people are protesting. Why? Because we all have a sense of rhythm. Rhythm is what helps us make sense of this world. And it ends up that rhythm also helps us remember things in this world. I learned very early on that it's far easier for me to remember a meeting that I have scheduled with someone if I scheduled the same time, the same day of the week, week after week after week. I get into a rhythm with it. It's far better than if I just go into each week and just randomly schedule some time to meet with that person. In the same way, Jesus, he told his followers, he said, share communion with each other regularly so that you will remember me. Get in the rhythm of remembering me. So something about these routines and repetition, they dig, they carve out those creases in our brains that help us remember things. So if something is important, if there's something that we want to remember in our lives and make a part of who we are, we need to repeat it. We need to make a rhythm of it into our lives and into our minds. You know, in the Jewish faith, the words of Deuteronomy 6:4, they anchor this prayer that is spoken every morning and every evening. It's called the Shema. Now, this is the Hebrew word Shema. I have this little piece of wood on the bookshelf in my office. And I see this every morning when I walk in. On the days that I'm there, I see this word Shema. Shema is the first Hebrew word in that verse in Deuteronomy 6:4. And it means to hear. The words are, hear, O Israel, Yahweh. Your God, Yahweh, He is the one and only God. Faithful Jewish men and women have repeated this prayer every morning and every evening for over 3 millennia. They say that it aligns them with God's kingdom, with God's reign and rule by causing them to remember. Remember that Yahweh is their God. Yahweh is their King. This is the same Yahweh that Psalm 23 speaks about when it says, the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. And through repeating this prayer and practicing this rhythm of saying the words and letting those words shape them, they say that this is literally receiving the kingdom of heaven. You know, the words that follow, the verse that follows, Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema, is Deuteronomy 6:5, which Jesus said is the greatest commandment, the most important commandment in the Old Testament. You shall love Yahweh, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then the verses that follow that in Deuteronomy 6 tell Israel that they are to teach these words, the Shema and the greatest commandment, to their children diligently, whether they're on the road, whether they're working in the field, or whether they're sitting in their homes. Now, the word for diligent that is used here, it paints this picture of taking something and carving lines into it, etching lines into it by this constant and just repetitious process. So they carve these lines, this memory, into their children's minds and their children's memories. The same way as you would carve lines into a stone, that you would take and you would go over it, over and over and over again until it was so deep that it wouldn't wear off. Diligently, repetition, rhythm. That's what frames us into God's life, the same as that's what frames our lives. You know, in Psalm 23, which we've been looking at the last 7 weeks, it ends with this verse, Psalm 23:6. And last week we said that this verse has two principles in it that dismantle, they make powerless the fears, all of our fears. That last week we looked at the first principle, only goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life. I mean, what an amazing thing to know. What an amazing thing to work into our hearts and our memories. This last week I said, repeat that. Every time you come up against a fear, speak it out, because it carves that into our hearts. The second principle found in the last half of that verse, that's what we're going to look at today, where it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what we're going to find is that this line It's everything. It's all about the rhythms and the repetitions and the routines of our lives. You know, the first thing to notice in this line is that God's name is here again, Yahweh. It says, in the house of the Lord, Yahweh. Now, Yahweh, God's name, is what began this psalm, where it says, Yahweh my shepherd, with that hyphenated name. We find it referred to midway through the psalm, where it says, and he guides me in paths, right paths, for his name's sake. And now here we find it at the on the last line of this psalm, where it says, and I will dwell in Yahweh's house forever. You know, David wants us to be without question. He wants to leave us without question that there is really one thing that dismantles, takes apart, makes powerless our fears. And that's a relationship with Yahweh, our Lord, the one who has told us his name, who knows our name, and who has invited us into and called us into a relationship with him as king, as shepherd, as friend. Because of that, I just want to, again, ask you very clearly, ask you very plainly, do you know Jesus? Do you know Yahweh, our God in heaven? Do you know him as your friend? Because if not, there's really no solution to fear. He is the one that dismantles, takes apart, makes powerless all the things that we fear and the fears themselves. So if you would like to know him as your Lord, as your Savior, as your friend, that's easy. Let us know. Right now you can push that button that says requesting prayer or asking for prayer right now. Press that button and we can talk to you right now about how you enter into that relationship, that friendship with Jesus. Or email us later. But tell us. Tell us, because this is where all of this begins. This is where this life without fear, this life of walking with Yahweh, begins. Another thing to understand in this verse at the end of Psalm 23 is that this phrase, the house of the Lord, you know, to the average Israelite who was living in the day that this psalm was written, that phrase, the house of the Lord, would have referred to the temple, or actually the tabernacle at that time, which was kind of, it was a tent version of the temple before the temple was built. But this was not a house or a tent that just anybody got to live in. This was Yahweh's tent. This was Yahweh's house. And of even the 12 tribes of Israel, only one tribe was called to even work there. And that was the tribe of Levi. Well, David, he's from the tribe of Judah. So you might say, well, what business does he have asking to live in God's house or to abide and reside in God's house for any time at all, let alone forever? We find the answer to this question really in that word dwell, because it ends up that word dwell, it can be taken two different ways. In English, we have these words called homonyms. And what it means is that it's a word that's spelled the same as another. It sounds the same as another, but they have two completely different meanings. So we have bark like a dog and bark on a tree. We have tire from a long day's work and a tire that's on a bicycle. And in Hebrew, they have the same thing. I remember reading this line one time, time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. Think about it. Homonyms. But we find a homonym here in Hebrew. Hebrew had this word, vashavti, from the verb vashav, yashav, which means to dwell. Well, then it had another word, vashavti, from the verb shuv, which meant to turn. Both of them sounded the same. They're spelled the same. And David doesn't tell us which one he means. He just leaves them both kind of hanging there so that we have to think about it a bit. And then that last line, those last couple of words, they literally mean for a long string of days. But kind of figuratively, they mean forever. And David doesn't clear that one up either. So we're left with this question. Does he mean I will return to Yahweh's house regularly over this long string of days of the rest of my life? Or does it mean I will dwell in Yahweh's house for eternity? He doesn't tell us. Or could it mean both? Because actually, that first version, what it's talking about are the rhythms in our lives. It's talking about, I will make sure to come back to this temple where God lives, to meet with God as a regular part of my life, or the regular part of the rhythm of my life. And we can learn something from that. We can learn from that. Do I want to dismantle? Do I want to make powerless fear in my life? Well, to do that, I should make meeting with God a regular part of my life. It needs to become a part of the rhythm of my life. I should spend more time with the provider and the protector of my life. I should soak in His word where He assures me of His love for me and His affection for me. And that He assures me that all of His power and all of His ability is always being used for my good. Instead of soaking in the fear-filled news of our day, instead of soaking in that self-worship that surrounds us in our culture, instead of soaking in that self-doubt and that disappointment that fills my own mind. And you know, the thing is now it's even easier to meet with God than it was in David's day, because God says that His house actually is now in us through the Holy Spirit, who He has poured out within us when we entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ. But I still need to take the time. I still need to set aside the time and establish that rhythm, that habit, that pattern of listening to God's voice, of attending to His presence through His Spirit in my life. Well, you take that phrase the second way, and it talks about these earthly rhythms and how they then are translated to eternal realities. After this life of returning to God's house, after this life of building in the rhythm of meeting with God regularly, after this life is over, I will continue to live with God in His true home in eternity. That's our final hope. That is our completed hope. That is the hope that everything else anchors on, that we draw our hope from. Because this world isn't our home. We're in it, but it says, the scripture says, we're not of it. We will never be at home in this place, because we have been born anew for God's kingdom. And this world should never feel at home here. We have work to do here. We walk with God here. We make Him known here. But our hope is anchored in our true home with Him in eternity. You know, you see that and you go, well, should we take it that first way? Or should we take it the second way? No, I don't think it's one or the other. I think that line is holding on to both. So what do we do with that? What kind of homework? I've been assigning homework every week. So what kind of homework can we take from that? Well, you guys, you know what? Today is Pentecost Sunday. About 2,000 years ago, on this day, God poured out His Holy Spirit on His church for the first time. And He left them beyond a shadow of a doubt. He showed them that they were now the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit had now taken up residence within them. And that was a good thing, because, I mean, not even 40 years later, the temple in Jerusalem was leveled. It was completely torn down. It was made into just every stone just torn down and made into a pile of rubble. What that means is that now us, along with all of those who call on the name of Jesus, along with all of those who are filled with His Holy Spirit, along with all of those who are shaped by His word and formed by His call, We are now his house. We are now the place that God lives, the place that his spirit resides. He has chosen us to live in us and to make his glory, his life, his heart known through us. You are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So for our homework, we need to start working on, thinking about, developing, what does it mean for me to build into my life? What does it mean for us to build into our lives those rhythms of being God's house, of being the dwelling place of his power, his spirit, his presence? What does it mean for you to live a life that is defined by his presence within you? What does it mean to live a life that is known by his power and his compassion? Not your best abilities, but his. Making them known through you. Making them known in your workplace and to your neighbors and in every place that you go. Making them known in the words that you speak in every situation. Making them known through the way that you live in this time of fear, without fear. How do we build that kind of rhythm in our lives? How will you build the rhythm of being with God regularly, coming to his presence, his house daily, listening to his word, his voice carefully, intently, seeing with the eyes of faith instead of with the eyes of fear? How will you build into your life the rhythm of returning to the house of the Lord daily? How will you plan the next several months, the months of summer, so that you are developing and growing in his calling on your life, rather than just developing a career that you are in right now or developing your summer plans for relaxation? How will you plan the next several months to be shaped by him? How will you start shaping the rhythms of your life to match who you really are? The house of God. The place of his presence. Our homework this week is to start thinking about that. Start figuring it out. Start writing it down. Start practicing some new rhythms in our lives. Rhythms in our lives that reflect who we truly are, the people of God, the place of his presence, his house. So David wrote, "I will return to Yahweh's house regularly all the days of my life." Or did he write, "I will dwell in Yahweh's house forever"? Or did he write both? Father, help us to learn what it means to be the place where you dwell. Help us to learn what it means that when we go and live in you, we find life in your house. But at the same time, there's this way that you are alive in us, that we have become your house. Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. You would open our eyes to see the truth that you have showed us, that hope that is there, that reality that dismantles, that takes apart, that renders powerless all of our fears. That we are the very residing place of God. We have been called in this world to make his glory known, your glory known. So, Father, fill us to that end. Give us insight and creative ways to think about how do we make you known and your heart known to those around us? How do we let your spirit live and breathe through us? Father, we want to be your people. We want to be encouraged and know that this last line of this amazing psalm is like an anthem that just rings throughout our lives. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will continually return to the house of the Lord forever. The Lord has made us his home, his dwelling place. Father, we pray these things, that you would bring them about, that you would form them and shape them in us through your living and active word. We pray these things for your glory. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who has saved us. We pray these things in the name of your powerful Holy Spirit, who lives within us and makes you known. Amen.